हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Let us read the mantras. So Krishna Yajurvediye Kataka Shakayam Kataka Upanishadhi Katha Upanishadhi Prathamadhyaye Dvitiyavalli. Let us quickly read those verses. Anyachneyonyadutaiva preyaste ubhenanarthe purusham sinitraha tato shreya adadanasya sadhu bhavati hiyate thadya upreyo vrunite shreyascha preyascha manushyametastau samparite vinakti dhiraha श्रेयो हि धीरोऽभिप्रेयसो वृणीते प्रेयो मन्दो योगक्षेमाद्वृणीते सत्त्वम् प्रियान् प्रियरूपांश्च कामान् अभिध्यायन् नचिकेतोऽत्यस्राक्षीः नैताम् शृङ्काम् वित्तमयीमवाप्तो यस्याम् मज्जन्ति बहवो मनुष्याः दूरमेते विपरीते विशोची अविद्या याच विद्येति जाता विद्याभीप्सिनम् नचिकेत सम्मन्ये नत्वा कामा बहवो लोलुपन्त अविद्यायामन्तरे वर्तमाना स्वयम् धीराः पण्डितम् मन्यमानाः तन्द्रम्यमाणाः पर्यन्ति मूढाः अन्धेनैव नियमाना यथान्धाः न साम्परायः प्रतिभाति बालम् प्रमाद्यन्तम् वित्तमोहेन मूढम् अयम् लोको नास्ति पर इति मानि पुनः पुनर्वशमापद्यते मे श्रवणायापि बहुभिर्यो न लभ्य शृण्वन्तोऽपि बहवो यन्न विद्युः आश्चर्यो वक्ता कुशलोऽस्य लब्धा आश्चर्यो ज्ञाता कुशलानुशिष्टः न नरेणावरेण प्रोक्त एष सुविज्ञेयो बहुधा चिन्त्यमानः अनन्यप्रोक्तो गतिरत्र नास्ति अणीयान् ह्यतर्क्यमणुप्रमाणात् नैषा तर्केण मतिरापनेया प्रोक्तान्येनैव सुज्ञानाय प्रेष्ठ याम् त्वमापसत्यधृतिर्बतासि त्वादृङ्नो भूयान्नचिकेतः पृष्टा जानाम्यहम् शेवधिरित्य नित्यम् न ह्यध्रुवैः प्राप्यते हि ध्रुवम् तत् ततो मया नाचिकेतश्चितोऽग्निर् अनित्यैर्द्रव्यैर्प्राप्तवानस्मि नित्यम् जानाम्यहम् शेवधिरित्य नित्यम् न ह्यध्रुवैः प्राप्यते हि ध्रुवम् तत् ततो मया नाचिकेतश्चितोऽग्निरनित्यैर्द्रव्यैः प्राप्तवानस्मि नित्यम् कामस्याप्तिम् जगतः प्रतिष्ठाम् क्रतोरनन्त्यमभयस्य पारम् स्तोममहदुर्गायम् प्रतिष्ठाम् दृष्ट्वा धृत्या धीरो नचिकेतोऽत्यस्राक्षीः तन्दुर्दर्शम् गूढमनुप्रविष्टम् गुहाहितम् गह्वरेष्ठम् पुराणम् अध्यात्मयोगाधिगमेन देवम् मत्वा धीरो हर्षशोकौ जहाति तन्दुर्दर्शम् गूढमनुप्रविष्टम् गुहाहितम् गह्वरेष्ठम् पुराणम् अध्यात्मयोगाधिगमेन देवम् मत्वा धीरो हर्षशोकौ जहाति एतच्छ्रुत्वा सम्परिगृह्य मर्त्यः प्रवृह्य धर्म्यमनुमेतमाप्य स मोदते मोदनीयम् हि लब्ध्वा विवृतम् सद्मनचिकेतः सम्मन्ये ஏதச்சுத்வா சம்பரிக்ருஹ்ய மர்த்யஃ ப்ரவ்ருஹ்ய தர்ம்யமனுமேதமாப்ய சமோதத்தே மோதனீயம் ஹி லப்த்வா விவ்ருதம் சத்மநசிகேத சம்மன்யே. அந்யத்ர தர்மாதன்யத்ர தர்மாதன்யத்ராஸ்மாத் க்ருதா க்ருதாத் அந்யத்ராஸ்மாத் க்ருதா க்ருதாத் அந்யத்ர பூதாச்ச பௌயாச்ச யத்தத் பஷ்யசி தத்வத. அந்யத்ர தர்மாதன்யத்ர தர்மாதன்யத்ராஸ்மாத் அந்யத்ராஸ்மாத் க்ருதா க்ருதாத் அந்யத்ர தர்மாதன்யத்ரா தர்மாதன்யத்ராஸ்மாத் க்ருதா க்ருதாத் அந்யத்ர பூதாச்ச பௌயாச்ச யத்தத் பஷ்யசி தத்வத. அந்யத்ர தர்மாத் அந்யத்ர அதர்மாத் அந்யத்ர அஸ்மாத் க்ருதாத் க்ருதா க்ருதாத் அந்யத்ர அஸ்மாத் க்ருதா க்ருதாத் க்ருத அக்ருதாத் க்ருதா க்ருதாத் அந்யத்ர பூதாத் ச பவ்யாத் ச யத் தத் பஷ்யசி யத் தத் பஷ்யசி தத்வத. I'll repeat. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat, anyatra asmat, anyatra asmat krita kritat. கிருத்த அக்ருதாத் கிருதா கிருதாத் அந்யத்ர பூதாத் ச பூதாத் ச பூதாச்ச பவ்யாத் ச பவ்யாச்ச யத் தத் பஷ்யசி யத் தத் பஷ்யசி தத்வத. நெக்ஸ்ட் மந்த்ர ஆல்சோ சர்வே வேதா யத் பதமாமனந்தி சர்வே வேதா யத் பதமாமனந்தி தபாம்சி சர்வாணி ச யத்வதந்தி தபாம்சி சர்வாணி ச யத்வதந்தி யதிச்சந்தோ ப்ரஹ்மச்சரியஞ்சரந்தி யதிச்சந்தோ ப்ரஹ்மச்சரியஞ்சரந்தி தத்தே பதம் சங்கிரஹேண ப்ரவீம்யோ மே தத் தத்தே பதம் சங்கிரஹேண ப்ரவீம்யோமித்யேதத். சர்வே வேதா யத் பதமாமனந்தி தபாம்சி சர்வாணி ச யத்வதந்தி யதிச்சந்தோ ப்ரஹ்மச்சரியஞ்சரந்தி தத்தே பதம் சங்கிரஹேண ப்ரவீம்யோமித்யேதத். ஓகே, சோ லெட் அஸ் சீ the 14th mantra. So in the previous mantra we saw very briefly in a nutshell Lord Yama said to Nachiketas that by going through the discipline of Shravanam one can understand the teaching. So, samparigrahanam, the proper clear understanding of the self is possible. How? By going through the Shravanam. And then, this mortal human being, distinguishing the self from the non-self, which can be added only by having mental preparation by living a life of dharma and having arrived at that self clearly without any doubt, and in the wake of that knowledge having discovered that fullness of happiness also, modaniyam also, that person rejoices, revels in the fullness of happiness. Therefore, O Nachiketas, I consider you that you're already here, and for you, this abode of moksha in terms of jnanam is already there, open for you, which is already given for you, attained by you. Means, you know, as good as, it is as good as, it's as was attained by you. This Lord Yama tells Nachiketas, the 13th mantra we have seen, so that knowledge which can be attained by going through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, that knowledge is already there for Nachiketas, means is as good as, it is as good as he has attained this knowledge. Which means he is already prepared for the teaching, and there's a teacher in front of him. So for him, the doorway to moksha, the abode of moksha, is open for him. Next mantra. Anyatra dharma danyatra dharma anyatra dharma danyatra dharma anyatra asma krita kritate anyatra bhuta cha bhavya cha yattat yattat pashyasi tadvada. So now, this verse presents the Nachiketas expressions. See, because there is no full stop comma. Until the 13th mantra, we see Lord Yama, the 13th mantra, we see Lord Yama talking to Nachiketas. In the 14th mantra, we see, we have to understand that Nachiketas now talks to Lord Yama. The 14th mantra presents what Nachiketas tells Lord Yama. So even though Lord Yama was telling, oh, you're already prepared, already the door to heaven is open for you, the abode of heaven is ready for you, you have attained jnanam, these uppers attains jnanam, everything he has been talking. Nachiketas is no more interested in simple glorification. Okay? Nachiketas, no, is very, he doesn't lose sight of his end. Nachiketas has no more patience. So Nachiketas tells Lord Yama. What does Nachiketas tell Lord Yama? Let us see here. Lord Yama is interested, Nachiketas is interested only in listening to the teaching, not in glorification of the teaching. The glorification of the teaching will not remove the ignorance. It can only inspire a person to have knowledge, to inspire a person to aspire for jnanam. But Nachiketas is already an inspired person. Already he is aspiring for knowledge. He only wants the teaching, not the glorification of the teaching. So he expresses his impatience in this verse. We know Nachiketas proved to be an eligible student, that he proved his qualifications to Lord Yama. Therefore, Nachiketas tells Lord Yama, so we can say, the 14th mantra, we can take it as Nachiketaha Uvacha. Nachiketa said. It is not written there, it's not mentioned there. We have to take 14th mantra presents what Nachiketa has expressed to Lord Yama. So here, Nachiketas briefly says what he has actually asked as his third boon. Anyatra dharmat. Anyatra adharmat. So, anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat. We break it. Anyatra means that which is, anyatra literally means elsewhere. But here we should take it in the sense of beyond distinct. So, adharmat anyatra asti means what is asti? Atma is. Atma is adharmat anyatra asti. Dharmat anyatra asti. Atma is distinct from dharma. Atma is beyond dharma. Adharmat anyatra asti. And Atma is also distinct from Adharma. Atma is free from both Dharma and Adharma. Dharma tanyatra asti. Asti, I'm adding, supplying the word asti. Atma anyat, dharma tanyatra asti. Atma is distinct from Dharma, beyond Dharma, free from Dharma. Atma adharma tanyatra asti. Atma is free from Adharma, distinct from adharma, beyond adharma. Means atma is free from both right and wrong. Atma is free from good and bad. Atma is distinct from all of them. Atma is beyond the right and wrong, good and bad. Atma is free from everything. So this one statement, where Nachiketa says, Atma is distinct from Dharma and Adharma, good and bad, right and wrong. Atma is free from everything. This one statement itself contributes for many lessons. We can learn many lessons from this one expression, one sentence. To this very reality implied by the term Atma. There's no Bhagavan, God, Lord other than the Atma. When you say Atma is free from good and bad, right and wrong, Atma is beyond everything, distinct from everything, means Bhagavan is distinct from, free from good and bad, right and wrong. Which means Bhagavan is always depicted, always presented as the truth which is free from all good and bad. But generally, Bhagavan is only, in other cultures, Bhagavan is said to be free from all the evils only. But we say good and of his view that God means he must be free from only evils. He must have only good things. Whereas in the Vedic tradition, Bhagavan in the form of truth implied by the term Atma is free from good also. Not only from the evil, free from good and evils. This is very important lesson here. That's why people cannot understand why Bhagavan created this universe. Why does Bhagavan bring all these problems to people? Why there is famine? Why there is poverty? Why there is suffering? Why there are these things? Why distractions? Why good people suffer? All these questions come because of the lack of understanding of Bhagavan being free from both good and bad. It takes a great deal of understanding. have this description of Bhagavan as the one who is endowed with all auspicious attributes. Bhagavan is Sakala Kalyana Guna Sampannavan. Bhagavan is Sakala Kalyana Guna Sampannavan. Okay. So in fact, but in Advaita Darshanam, in the vision of Advaita, Bhagavan is the one who is free from all auspicious, inauspicious, bad and right, bad and good, right and wrong. Bhagavan is distinct from all of them. Bhagavan is beyond all of them, without whose presence there cannot be good or bad. There cannot be right or wrong. There cannot be good and evil. Bhagavan, without Bhagavan, there cannot be good and evil, but Bhagavan is free from good and evil. Everything. Therefore, this is absolutely Bhagavan is a thing but the reality implied by the term Atma, and that Bhagavan is absolutely of the nature of attributelessness. Paramarthikaha Bhagavan Nirgunaha. Paramarthikaha Bhagavan Nirgunaha means Bhagavan, who is absolutely, essentially absolute reality, is free from all attributes. All attributes. Therefore, an important lesson we have to understand from this particular expression, that dharmat anyatra, adharmat anyatra, meaning Atma is beyond right and wrong, good and evil. From this, the important lesson we have to learn is that Bhagavan, Paramarthikaha Bhagavan, absolutely Bhagavan as the reality is free from all attributes. Bhagavan is distinct from, Bhagavan is beyond both good and evil. Not only evil, beyond both good and evil. Okay. So, dharma and adharma. So, understanding Bhagavan means understanding Bhagavan being both good and evil. This is the main lesson. The second lesson is the punya. Dharma implies punyam, adharma implies papam. Dharma stands for punyam, adharma stands for papam. And dharma and adharma, punyam meaning punyam and papam, both punyam and papam are earned as a result of an action only. One can earn punyam in terms of dharma by doing a righteous action or something appropriate. One can earn papam in terms of adharma also by doing some karma. So punya papas are nothing but results of actions only. So dharma and adharma are also results of actions. So all the actions knowingly done, unknowingly done, inevitably done, unintentionally done, any action definitely produces punyam or papam in keeping whether it is performed properly or in conformity dharma or not. So whatever a karma person performs, definitely that action will produce a desirable or an undesirable result. So dharma and adharma, in terms of punyam and papam, are results of actions. So result of a prohibited action is papam, which is adharma, adharma karma, adharma. And result of a right action, a proper action, is a ordained duty. The result of performing an ordained duty is punyam, dharma. Therefore, performing ordained action is what? Duty. So, dharma we say. So, this is result of prohibited action is papam, adharma. And the result of an ordained duty is punyam. So, dharma and adharma. So, all the results, all fruits of all actions, knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally, then actions. Results of all those actions come under the category of either punyam or papam, dharmaha and adharmaha. Therefore, when we say this atma is free from dharma and adharma, actually, Bhagavan, the name, the Atma alone is given the title of Bhagavan. The absolute reality, all pervasive reality, the only reality, the secondless reality, implied by the term Atma, alone is here looked upon as Ishvara Bhagavan. That Bhagavan is free from both dharma and adharma. Means Bhagavan is free from punya papams. Atma is free from punya papams. Bhagavan is free from punya papams. Bhagavan has no punyam, Bhagavan has no papam. Atma has no punyam, Atma has no papam. No punyam, no papam. So, the performance of righteous actions will not make Atma have any pap, right, punyam. Performance of wrong actions, transgressing the values, will not make Atma have any papam also. Atma is free from both punyam and papam. Okay, this is another lesson. If Atma does not only Atma is free from punya papam, nor is the Atma giver of punya papam also. We say Ishvara is the karmaphala datta. We'll see that later on. No result of action can give us the Atma. Here, knowledge alone one cannot attain the Atma or Moksha or Bhagavan as a result of karma. How many your karmas we perform also, there's no way of attaining Atma in terms of knowledge. It is the knowledge. So knowledge alone, only by having the knowledge of what Atma is, Atma can be arrived at. This is another lesson. So, it is said here is, Atma is beyond dharmaha and adharmaha. Then, Atma is, next sentence is, asmat krita akritat anyatra. Krita akritat anyatra. Atma is distinct from kritam and akritam. Okay. So here, the word kritam is a past passive participle. Krita and akrita. Krita is a past passive participle. And the opposite of krita is akrita. So krita means made, done, produced. So the word krita is a participle taken as a noun. Kritam means an effect, a product. And akritam. Akritam means which is not produced. So krita is produced, made, done, caused. Akrita is unproduced. So kritam, the produced is an effect. Unproduced means the cause. The word akritam implies meaning unproduced, stands for the cause. Kritam, the produced, stands for an effect. So kritam stands for an effect. Akritam stands for means a cause, cause and effect. So what does it mean now? At anyatra krita kritate asmat krita kritate. Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. Bhagavan is neither the cause nor the effect. But there cannot be a cause, there cannot be an effect without Bhagavan. Okay, the word kritam stands for the effect and akritam implies the cause. Akrita, krita akritat anyate means atma is beyond. Atma is distinct from the cause and the effect. Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. But at the same time, atma is not distant from the cause and effect, because there cannot be a cause without atma. There cannot be an effect without atma. Therefore, atma is not distant from cause and effect. But atma is free from cause and effect. Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. Asmat krita akritat anyate. Krita akritat anyate. This is another lesson we learn from this mantra. So when you say this all pervasive reality implied by the term Atma is free from, distinct from the cause and effect, means it's distinct from cause and effect. It is free from cause and effect. It is free from punya papam. It is free from the results of actions. It is free from good and bad, free from right and wrong, means, you know, Atma is, in fact, Atma is free from everything, means Atma is free from time factor also. Because being free from cause and effect implies being free from time limitation. Being free from time limitation means being Atma is beyond the time, because Atma has no time limitation. Why? Because Atma does not come under the category of cause or effect. Atma is neither the cause nor the effect, but Atma is the very truth of cause and effect, because there cannot be a cause or effect without the Atma. There cannot be kritam, there cannot be akritam without the Atma. Therefore, the Atma is being free from cause and effect, being distinct from cause and effect, being very truth of cause and effect. Atma is free from time limitation also. Atma is beyond the time factor. Now, therefore it is said next. Anyatra bhutat cha bhavyat cha. Now, bhuta bhavya. Take these two words. Bhuta is also participle. Bhavya is a potential passive participle. But these two words here, bhuta stands for everything past. Everything associated with the past is bhuta. Bhuta means past. Bhutat anyatra. Anyatra means Atma is distinct from, Atma is beyond the past. Bhavya means future. These two words, bhuta and bhavya, bhutat cha bhavyat cha, the fifth case, bhavyat anyatra, bhutat cha anyatra, implies Atma is free from time limitation, means Atma is free from three periods of time, past, present and future. Bhuta means past, bhavya means future. These two words imply Atma being free from three periods of time, past, present and future. There's no past for Atma, there's no present for Atma, there's no future for Atma. But the past exists in Atma, present exists in Atma, future exists in Atma. There cannot be past, present and future without the Atma, but Atma is free from the time, three periods of time, past, present and future. That is meant, revealed by this sentence, Bhutacha anyatra, anyatra bhutacha bhavyacha, bhutat ancha anyatra, bhavyat cha anyatra. Bhavyam bhutam, what is the fifth case of bhavyam bhutam? Bhutat cha and bhavyat cha. So, Atma is, Atma, Bhagavan is said to be Trikalajnaha. Trikalajnaha means the one who is aware of all three periods of time. The knower of past, the knower of present, the knower of future. The truth which alone obtains as the knower of the present, knower of the past and knower of the future means what? In future also, the knower will always, knower is always Atma. Knower will be Atma, knower is Atma, knower was Atma. There was no knower other than the Atma. Always the one who enjoyed the status of being the knower. Atma is not the knower. Because knowing is not an action. But by nature of knowing, the only absolute knower of everything in the past, in the present, in the future is Atma. There's no knower other than the Atma. Therefore, Atma is Trikalajnaha, the knower of all three periods of time, is free from Trikalatitaha, free from these three periods of time, because Atma is beyond time. Okay, this is the three words described here for us. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharmat, dharmat, anyatra adharmat, anyatra yahasti sahatma. Anyat asmat kritat, asmat akritat, asmat krita akritat, anyatra atma asti. Bhutat cha bhavyat cha anyatra asti. I've seen all this. Atma is free from three periods of time, past, present and future. Atma is free from cause and effect. Atma is free from right and wrong, good and bad. Atma is free from punyam and papam. Now, yat tat pashyasi tadvada. Who's saying all it? Looks like teaching, no? Actually speaking, Nachiketas is talking to Lord Yama. He says, yat tat pashyasi. So pashyasi is a second person singular verb, present tense verb. Therefore, when you understand Nachiketas is talking to Lord Yama, so we have to assume that is a vocative expression. Oh Lord Yama, yat pashyasi. Now, yes, pashyasi, you are seeing that Atma. That Atma which you are clearly seeing. Yam Atmanam Tvam Pashyasi. Yam Atmanam Tvam Pashyasi. Means what? O Lord Yama, that Atma which you are clearly seeing, which you see clearly. Because you have the vision. You have no doubt. You are a jnani. You are seeing, which you see, yat pashyasi tat vada. Please make me see that. How? Please teach. Tat vada means, please teach me. Please teach me means what? Tat vada means, please make me see. Tat vada means, please do speak. Please do teach. Teach, that Atma means what? Please help me see that Atma. Make me see that Atma which you are seeing. Help me discover that Atma which you already know. Yat pashyasi tat vada. This is the Atma. This is the Atma. Which is Atma? Atma which is free from right and wrong. Which is free from good and bad. Which is free from punyam and papam. Which is free from time, past, present and future. Which is free from cause and effect. That Atma which you see, which you know already, please teach me. That Atma means, please reveal, bring that Atma to my understanding. Bring that Atma to light, that may have the understanding of that Atma. May I have the knowledge of that Atma. May help me see that Atma which you see. Tattvada. Yattvam pashyasi tattvada. Yam, yat is a neuter gender word. Atma is a masculine gender word. Therefore, that which you see, please teach me that. This is a literal translation. What he means, yam atmanam tvam pashyasi, tam atmanam vada. That Atma which you see clearly, help me see that Atma, discover that Atma. So this is the request. It means, now Nachiketas, you know, expressed his impatience. Finish. Enough with all glorifications. Now let us go to move on to subject matter of the Shastra. Please do teach. Okay. Now when Nachiketas asked for this jnanam very clearly, and Lord Yama has no choice, but he has to respond to Nachiketa's request. Next mantra.
Sarve vedayat padamamananti tapamsi sarvani chayadvadanti yadichchanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangraheṇa bravīmo mityetat.
So now Lord Yama also understands the craving of Nachiketas. He tells, now Lord Yama tells, Sarve Veda Yat Pad. Now you can say this 15th mantra in the second section is what? Yamarajaha Uvacha. Yamadharma Rajaha Uvacha. Lord Yama said,
Sarve Veda Yat Padamamananti Tapamsi Sarvani Chayadvadanti Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Tatte padam sangrahena bravimi om ityetate. Sarve veda yat padamamananti tapamsi sarvani chayadvadanti yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrahena bravimi om ityetat. Tat padam sangraheṇa bravīmyo mityetat.
How do you read without breaking?
Tatte padam sangraheṇa bravīmyo mityetat.
Tat yan santi. Tat padam te sangraheṇa bravīmi. Om iti. Etat. Om iti etat. Okay. So here, Lord Yama, in his response to Nachiketa's request, recognizes that this teaching of Brahma Vidya is very subtle. Therefore, it is not easy for all the people to comprehend. It will take time. And for a person to grasp this Upanishadic teaching, definitely he or she must have very, very subtle mind, subtle intellect. Therefore, before he begins his teaching, before Lord Yama begins his teaching, he teaches the means of preparing the mind. Means of preparing the mind. Because unless mental preparation is there, the teaching, grasping the teaching is not possible. Assimilating the teaching is not possible. Therefore, Lord Yama himself prescribes a means of preparation to become mentally subtle for the sake of the people who are not prepared for this teaching. Who are not mentally prepared for this teaching. People may aspire for knowledge, but they may not be mentally prepared for the comprehension of the teaching. Therefore, even though Nachiketas was perfectly prepared, ready, he was a very unique disciple, still considering the general public, Lord Yama prescribes sadhanam for the sake of those who are not ready for comprehension of the teaching, the subject matter of teaching in terms of the reality. So, as a means of preparing one's mind for the comprehension, effortless comprehension of the reality, the teaching, Lord Yama here prescribes the meditation upon Omkaraha. Lord Yama prescribes meditation upon Omkaraha. Omkara Upasanam. Where Omkara Upasanam is prescribed in 3 mantras. The mantra which we have read now, in the 15th, 16th and 17th, in 3 mantras, Lord Yama himself prescribes Omkara Upasanam. Okay. Now, we know already this Omkaraha can be used as an alambanam, a symbol for Saguna Brahma Upasanam, for meditating upon Ishwara. And the same Omkaraha can be used as a means of Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, dwelling upon the essential nature of the reality, obtaining as one's own self. So Omkaraha's Saguna Brahma Upasanam, the meditated difference is there. We know very well. Where Omkara becomes a symbol for Ishvara, the whole. Whereas Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, in analyzing the meaning of the word Om, one dwells upon the nature of the reality, obtaining as one's own self. So Omkara always serves as a symbol, as a means of meditation. It serves as means of Saguna Brahma Upasanam as well as Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Saguna Brahma means the reality manifest in the form of the whole cosmos. Reality, the formless abstract reality, manifest in the form of the whole cosmos. The world of plurality is said to be Sagunam Brahma, Karyam Brahma, whereas the Karyam Brahma means the manifest reality. Now, so Karanam Brahma. What is Karyam Brahma, Karanam Brahma? The reality with this manifesting power is looked upon as Karanam Brahma. The reality with this power manifest in the form of universe is looked upon as Karyam Brahma. Please make a note. Ishwaraha, Bhagavan, here is the reality with looked upon as the one endowed, that which is endowed with the power of manifestation, is said to be Karanam Brahma, the cause, as the cause of the universe. And the same reality, with this power manifest in the form of universe, is said to be Karyam Brahma. So Karanam Brahma and Karyam Brahma, both are nothing but Ishvara. Ishvara as the cause of the universe is said to be Karanam Brahma. Ishvara, obtaining of the effect, the universe is looked upon as Karyam Brahma. So, this is Sagunam Brahma. So, for Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Omkara is used as an alambanam, as a symbol. The same Omkara can be used for contemplating upon the nature of the abstract reality also. Now, we are not teaching Upasanam here. Just it is said here, Lord Yama prescribes Omkara Upasanam in the three mantras, 15, 16 and 17, for the purpose of enabling the student, those who are not ready for comprehending the teaching. This is a pre-preparation for the unprepared student. So, Saguna Brahma Upasanam, the Omkara is used as a symbol for Saguna Brahma Upasanam. That meditation, Saguna Brahma Upasanam, can contribute for making the person subtle-minded, that he'll become eligible for Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Then he can have the ascertained vision of the reality. So, he can understand the attributeless reality, Nirguna Tattvam. Okay. If a person merely practices Saguna Brahma Upasanam, uses Omkara as a symbol of Sagunam Brahma, either Karyam Brahma or Karanam Brahma, Ishvara as the cause of the universe, or Ishvara as in the form of the universe. If a person uses Omkara as a symbol of Ishvara, as the cause of the universe, or as the one in the form of the universe, then it is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. That Upasanam will help a person only earn punyam. If a person stops Saguna Brahma Upasanam, that Upasanam will help a person earn punyam to be eligible to go to higher lokas to enjoy the heavenly life, which is time-bound heavenly life. Whereas Nirguna Brahma Upasanam will help a person have the ascertained vision of the reality, that a person can attain Jivan Mukti while living in this very life. And after the exhausting the power of the karma, as a Jivan Muktaha, a person can also attain Videha Mukti. This is the benefit of practicing Saguna Brahma Upasanam and also Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. But if a person practices Saguna Brahma Upasanam, having his focus on mental preparation required for jnanam as yoga, that even Saguna Brahma Upasanam becomes karma yogaha, yoga, I mean a preparatory discipline. So when does Saguna Brahma Upasanam become a preparatory discipline? If a person practices Saguna Brahma Upasanam, not having his focus on the enjoyment of heavenly life, but having his focus on mental preparation required for the attainment of jnanam, with the commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, then Saguna Brahma Upasanam itself becomes what? Nishkama Upasanam. Nishkama Upasanam. If a person practices meditation, having his focus on the enjoyment of heavenly life, and without commitment to pursuit of jnanam, then that upasanam becomes sakama upasanam. Sakama upasanam also will be effective. Nishkama upasanam also will be effective. But nishkama upasanam becomes a yoga, karma yoga. Sakama upasanam becomes a mere karma. So if a person practices sakama upasanam, having his focus on enjoyment of heavenly life, then he can enjoy the time-bound result. If a person practices the same Saguna Brahma Upasanam with his focus on mental preparation, the commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, it becomes Nishkama Upasanam, then definitely this person will become qualified for the attainment of jnanam. He can attain jnanam in due course of time. Okay, this much we need to know in this context. So, Lord Yama now tells, this is all we need to understand before we enter into seeing the meaning of the mantra. So he says, Sarve Veda Yat Padama Mananti. Sarve Vedaha Yat Padam Amananti. The word Padam literally means a word. Padam means a word. Padam means a position. Padam also means a goal. Padam in this context means an absolute end, ultimate goal, reaching which one need not travel. One will not be born again. That absolute goal, absolute end is meant by the term Padam. So Sarve Vedaha means all the Vedas, all the Veda mantras, all the Upanishads. Why Upanishads alone? The entire Veda, all the Vedas, Amananti, Amananti, Mananti, Amananti means reveal in one voice, declare all Vedas, declare in one voice, what is that? Yat Padam Amananti. That Padam means this, that which all the Vedas declare as the absolute end. All the Vedas uniformly declare that, the which declare as the absolute end. What is that? The Yat Padam. Yat stands for Brahma, absolute reality. So all the Vedas uniformly reveal the fact that absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is the absolute goal. Brahman as the absolute goal. Means discovery of the Brahman as the absolute goal. That is why there is a uniformity in the teaching of all the Upanishads. We hear about 10 major Upanishads. There are so many other Upanishads also. And all the Upanishads uniformly reveal one fact. What is that? A discovery of the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is the common human absolute ultimate goal. There's no greater goal, bigger goal than டிஸ்கவரிங் பிரம்மன். சர்வே வேதாஹ யத்பதம் ஆமனந்தி. சோ தட் பிரம்மன் விச் ஆல் தி வேதாஸ் டிக்ளேர் ஆஸ் தி அப்சல்யூட் கோல். சர்வே வேதாஹ யத்பதம் ஆமனந்தி. So Vedas reveal again and again one fact, discovering the truth, discovering the absolute reality is the ultimate goal of human beings, because it is discovery of Brahman which brings an end, which puts an end to the search on the part of the human mind. Until and unless a human being discovers the truth implied by the term Brahman, the search on the part of the human mind does not become quenched. The search will continue, will be there continuously, constantly, endlessly. The search on the part of the human mind will come to an end only, is put to rest only when the human mind discovers the reality of the whole, obtaining as the reality of one's own mind. It is the ultimate goal, absolute goal. But this fact, people do not know. Veda says ultimate goal of human beings is the discovery of Brahman. But human beings do not know that their ultimate goal in life is discovering the truth. The people do not know. And people who know are the people who have Purusharth Nischeha. People who analyze the Purusharthas, who understood the moksha being the ultimate goal, who understood the value of Jnanam, who understood the connection between Jnanam and moksha, those people know that discovery of Brahman being the ultimate goal. But there are people who do not have Purusharth Nischeha and who do not know the discovery of Brahman being the ultimate goal. Okay. And here, we have to remember the Veda Shastram, the entire Veda Shastram, of course, in the very beginning, consists of subject matter, understanding which a person can pursue artha kama dharmas. So Veda Shastram, which itself recommends the pursuit of artha kama dharmas for the emotional maturity of the person, the same Veda Shastram also talks very highly of heavenly life and enjoyment of heavenly pleasures, etc., and the means of attaining those heavenly pleasures also. And such Veda Shastram, toward the end, makes it very clear. It is the discovery of the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is the absolute goal of the human beings. And here, a person has to be mature to must analyze his Purusharthas, study from analyzing one's own life's experiences. A person has to know the limitations of artha, limitations of enjoyment of pleasures, limitations of even punyam a person earns in life, a dharma. The person has to know the limitations of artha, kama, dharmas by analyzing his own life's experiences, by analyzing his own achievements. And a person has to somehow, to the study, to the exposure, the person has to have the Purushartha Nischeha, that moksha being the choice of sin must become very clear. Then jnanam being the only means of discovering the moksha must become very clear. Then alone he can become committed to the pursuit of that jnanam. And such reality, absolute reality, discovery of which is the ultimate goal. Human beings, is what all the Vedas declare. So, sarve Vedaha yat padam amananti. தென் சர்வாணி தபாம்சி ச வதந்தி. சர்வாணி தப்பாம்சி ச வதந்தி. தபாம்சி ஆல் டிசிப்ளின்ஸ். When a person is not capable of discovering the moksha being the ultimate goal, not being able to understand the importance, the value of jnanam, when a person does not recognize his ultimate goal being moksha and jnanam, then the person is still, remains steeped in ignorance, darkness of ignorance. Therefore, the same Veda here, tapamsi sarvani tapamsi cha vadanti. All forms of disciplines, also Vedas reveal forms of disciplines also. So, tapas sakarantaha apusakalingaha tapas shabdaha. Tapamsi is the plural word of tapas. Tapamsi vadanti. So same Veda Shastram prescribes many disciplines required for preparing one's mind for discovering moksha in the attainment of jnanam. For the sake of attaining this absolute goal. So what is tapas? You know, following all disciplines. There's a beautiful mantra from Mahanarayana Upanishad. There the word tapas is beautifully defined. Ritam tapaha, satyam tapaha, shrutam tapaha, shantam tapaha. Then damaha tapaha, shamaha tapaha, danam tapaha, yajnam tapaha, bhurbhuvasuvar brahma etad upasva etad tapaha. So meditating upon sagunam brahma is tapas. Following dhamma, practicing discipline of damaha is tapas. Practicing discipline of shamaha is tapas. And being charitable is tapas. Listening to the shastram is tapas. And being truthful and following, being ethical is tapas. And knowing the values is tapas. And living the knowledge of values is tapas. Okay? Tapas means practicing all disciplines which contribute for mental preparation required for the attainment of jnanam is tapas. That is what is tapas. Therefore, what is tapas? We can say tapas here means all the disciplines prescribed for having the qualifications required for the attainment of jnanam. We can say briefly, having the fourfold qualifications, viveka vairagyam, having mukshutvam is a tapas. And commitment to the pursuit of jnanam is tapas. And having mental preparation, the viveka is tapas. Being dispassionate is tapas. And having all the disciplines, shamaha, damaha, tapaha, uparamaha, titiksha, is also tapas. So living a life of karma yoga is tapas. Okay, this is tapas. So Vedas themselves teach all the disciplines. The discipline of living a life of karma yoga, having disciplines of shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, etc. Having viveka vairagyam. All the qualifications. So having all the qualifications is what? Tapas. So Vedas Shastram teaches also all the disciplines to enable a student to become qualified for the attainment of jnanam. So sarve vedaha yatpadam amananti tapamsi. Sarvani tapamsi cha vadanti. And here, Sarvani Tapamsicha Vadanti is a beautiful sentence. Why? Veda Shastram teaches the whole way of life from Sanatana Dharmaha. Tapamsi Vadanti means Veda Shastram teaches all disciplines, means Veda Shastram teaches the way of life governed by Dharma. And how? For that, Veda Shastram prescribes duties. Classifying the people into four groups as Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra. There are duties ordained for people of different classes based on their inclination for karma in keeping with the predominance of gunas. So based on the inclination of people, for a given karma, and based on the predominance of the guna, the people are classified as Kshatriyaha, Vaishyaha, Brahmanaha, Shudraha. And in keeping with the classification of people, the duty is also prescribed for people. So doing properly, following these duties ordained by the Shastram, in keeping with their own natural inclination and choice of karma, in the predominance of guna, a person can become slowly qualified. A person can become spiritually, he can progress. Apart from that, ashrama dharmas also. There are duties prescribed for people of different age groups. There's the brahmacharya ashrama dharma, the grihastha ashrama dharma, vanaprastha ashrama dharma, sannyasa ashrama dharma. So Shastram prescribes all these duties as disciplines. Tapamsi Vadanti means what? Shastram teaches the way of life and classifying the people into four groups in keeping with their mental preparation, keeping the inclination for karma, keeping the predominance of guna. Shastram prescribes duties for people of different classes, not looking down upon anybody as inferior or superior. Not looking down upon anybody, any people of any varna as inferior, not looking up to any people of any varna as superior, just for the sake of spiritual progress, Shastram prescribes duties as disciplines in keeping with their mental, in keeping the predominance of gunas and inclination for karma. Shastra also prescribes duties for people of different age groups, different stages in life, as brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasa, ashrama dharmas. So by following these dharmas, by following these disciplines, which themselves serve as disciplines, following these duties ordained by Shastram itself, makes the person disciplined person. Then these duties are said to be disciplines. And following the way of life ordained by Shastram, the person can become mentally prepared for the attainment of Jnanam. Therefore, here Lord Yama says, Tapamsi Vadanti. Tapamsi Vadanti. Then, Yadichantaha Brahmacharyam Charanti. Yadichantaha Brahmacharyam Charanti. Okay, Charanti here. Not Vedas, there are people who are given to the discipline of celibacy and who here specifically a student is called Brahmachari. The one who is given to the discipline of Brahmacharyam is a Brahmachari. Means a Brahmachari is the student whose mind always dwelling upon the Vedic teaching. Brahmacharya does not mean only an unmarried person. Of course, a Brahmachari is unmarried. Even if he is married also, if a person as a Veda student of Vedanta Shastram, if the mind is always dwelling upon the subject matter of the Shastram, he is a Brahmachari. Why? Brahmani Charati Manaha Iti Brahmachari. The one whose mind always dwelling upon. Where does the mind wander? mind is wanting only subject matter of the Shastram, Veda Shastram. Veda also is known as Brahma. So Brahmachari is the one whose mind is always thinking of subject matter of the Veda Brahma. It's Brahmachari. And Brahmacharyam Charanti. So these serious aspirants of knowledge, people are craving for this wisdom, Ichantaha knowledge, Brahmacharyam Charanti. Brahmacharyam Charanti means what? They are given to the life of a student. Even after the marriage, even after entering into the Grihastha Ashrama, after moving into Vanaprastha Ashrama also, doesn't matter whether Brahmacharya Ashrama, whether the person is from Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grihastha Ashrama or Vanaprastha Ashrama, person of any ashrama, the people of all ashramas also, when they know the value of the knowledge, when they become committed to the pursuit of jnanam, then they are given to the life of a student. When they take to a life of a student, who, if they're spiritual aspirants, they're serious spiritual aspirants, take to the life of a student, Brahmacharya Ashrama means what? Going back to Brahmacharya Ashrama means don't think they become Brahmacharis again. A married person cannot become unmarried again. Okay, already married. So even a married person, a person of Grihastha Ashrama, a person of Vanaprastha Ashrama, a person of any ashrama, the day he becomes clear about his Purushartha Nischaya, Purushartha, when he has a Purushartha Nischaya, when he knows the value of jnanam, when he becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam, then that person takes to a life of a brahmachari. So, yadichantaha brahmacharyam charanti means what? Serious spiritual aspirants become given to the life of brahmacharyam, life of a student. Again, that means they become serious students of Shastram. Brahmacharyam Charanti. It's very nice. So don't think only Brahmacharyam Charanti means living one's life as a bachelor does not make a person Brahmachari. Okay? Please make it very clear. Simply living one's life as unmarried bachelor does not make one a Brahmachari. Brahmachari means seriously, strictly given to the study of the Shastram as a spiritual aspirant with the Purushartha Nischaya alone makes the person a Brahmachari. Is it clear? Clear or not? Yad Ichantaha Brahmacharyam Charanti. So with a craving interest for knowing the reality, with a craving interest for attaining moksha, people are given to the study of the Shastram, will take the life of Brahmacharyam, become students again. Okay. Now he says, Tat Padam Te Bravimi, Sangrahena Bravimi, Tat Padam. Lord Yama says, O Nachiketas, Tat Padam, that absolute goal. Tat Te Padam. Te means Tava, your. Tat, that is your absolute goal, your ultimate end. Nachiketas, I know that is your absolute goal, ultimate end. Aham sangrahena bravimi. And that Brahman is here what now?
சங்கிரஹேண பிரவீமி. சங்கிரஹேண மீன்ஸ் பிரீஃப்லி. ஹவு பிரீஃப்லி கேன் பி, ஹவு பிரீஃப்லி தி ட்ரூத் கேன் பி இம்ப்ளைட் மென்ஷன்ட். ஓம் இதி ஏதத். That absolute reality, Brahman, which is your ultimate goal, and that Brahman in the briefest expression is in the form of Om. That Brahman mentioned in the briefly is சங்கிரஹேண பிரவீமி ஓம் இதி ஏதத். ஏதத் ஓம் இதி ஏதத். திஸ் இஸ் ஓம் அண்ட் திஸ் இஸ் ஓம் சிம்பலைசஸ் பிரம்மன். ஓம் ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஃபார் பிரம்மன். Which Brahman? The Brahman, which is your absolute goal, discovery of which is your absolute goal. So that absolute reality, Brahman, which is your ultimate goal, I'm going to briefly tell you how, in terms of Om. It means Omkaraha symbolizes that Brahman, which is your goal. So I'm going to stop here. How Omkaraha symbolizes Brahman? How Omkara stands for Brahman? In fact, Mandukya Upanishad elaborately discusses on all 12 mantras, Omkara is discussed elaborately as Brahma, as an alambanam of Brahma, a symbol of Brahman. So I'm going to teach you Brahma in terms of Omkara, briefly, which is your goal. Okay? This is the content of this mantra. Today it's time already. So I'm going to stop today. Sarve Veda Yat Padama Mananti Tapamsi Sarvani Chayadvadanti Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Tatte Padam Sangrahe Nabravimi Omityetat. So that Brahman, which all the Upanishads declare as the ultimate goal, for discovering which Upanishads, all the Vedas, teach disciplines to prepare the mind. And in order to discover which Brahman, people of different ashramas again take the life of brahmacharis. They follow the discipline of brahmacharyam. That absolute reality, Brahman, I shall teach you briefly in terms of Om. This is the meaning of this mantra. Tatte padam sangrahena bravimi omit ketat. What he is going to teach, etc., we'll see in the next class. Any questions here?
Swamiji, what's the use of asmat in the previous verse, anyatra asmat?
Asmat means asmat krita krita akritat. Asmat means our kritam, our actions, our right and wrong, our punyam and papam. See, punyam and papam, our punya papa. See, Atma is distinct from all our punya papams. See, we people earn punya papa. So now he, in the place of Brahman, absolute reality of Brahman, he puts Om. How, what he is going to teach, we'll see later on. Om iti etat. Tat Brahma Sangrahena Bravimi. I briefly say, state that Brahman to be Om, Omkaraha. Om is Brahma, Brahman is Om. That's what he says. I'm going to teach that. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.